bless you, I am sure. All right, we're going to have a word of prayer and we shall get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are the one true God. We thank you for the perfect salvation that we have and the perfect God that you are. And as we now allow your Holy Spirit to minister your truths to our hearts and minds today, that, Lord, that we would be filled with your Spirit, Lord, and that your grace, your mercy, and your truth would abound to us this morning, and that we would be moved, Lord, into a deeper and greater relationship with yourself. Father, we just love you and thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The title of this morning's message is A Perfect God. You know, when it comes to design, there must always be a designer. There must be one who is what we would say is the chief architect, one who has the final say, one who signs off on the plans, so to speak, and makes sure that everything is done accordingly. The chief architect has the responsibility for the completion of the work. He sees to it that the plan and the purpose and the payment for everything is all in order. He has the responsibility to make sure that his design is completed, but also that it works. And such is our great and mighty God, the great designer and the creator of all things. In John 1:1, we know it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not made anything that was made. In fact, Colossians 1:16 and 17 says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, were visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And you know, for centuries now, for a long time now, the world has denied those truths. It has gone to great lengths to try and prove that the world, the universe as we know it and what we can see and understand, just one day happened. That the absolute perfect design we know just one day evolved into existence. Now, if that's the case, where does that leave mankind? It leaves him helpless, hopeless, and horribly, utterly useless for anything but the 70 or 80 years he may have on this earth. If there were no God, man would be no better than any animal on this earth, living only by instincts, with no purpose other than for the immediate. But that is not the makeup of man. Man has desires. His desire to communicate, to be heard, to be separate from the animal kingdom. See, man has an intellect, emotions, and will. Animals do not have those. Man has a desire to rule and to reign. Animals do not have that either. And to deny the existence of God is to deny all that man is made up of. And if one pays careful attention to what man claims to be true, the more we see how wrong they are and how right it is to believe there is one greater than all, one above all, beyond man's comprehension, one to whom this world and everything in it owes its existence. And that is Almighty God, Creator, Sustainer, and Lord over all. Now, there's three things we're going to look at today. That is a plan, a payment, and a purpose. Now, a plan. All designs must start with a plan. God's plan from the beginning was our Bible reading this morning for man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Here we have man's place as set over the works of God's hands. All having been set in order, God then decided one needed to take headship. And notice the change in verse 27. In the image of God created he him. It then goes in verse, the end of verse 27 and 28. It goes from him to them. We are presented with a We aren't presented with the creation of the woman until chapter 2. Though what we see here is God blessing them. You see, God gave them jointly a place of universal government over this earth. And all the other orders of creation were inferior and set under their joint dominion. Eve received all her blessings in Adam, and in him as well, she got her dignity. Even though she wasn't yet called into actual existence, she was in man. Psalm 139:16 reminds us, thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. See, the world and the animals weren't to have dominion over man. It was the other way around. Yet today we see man has reversed what God has set in order from the very beginning. God had his plan in place from the beginning of this world. Yet man has endeavored to change God's plan, but it will never work. See, man has not gotten better and better. The truth is, man has gotten worse and worse. Now, Romans 1:20 tells us, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, the things of God are clearly seen. They're understood by those who desire to see and understand. The heavens and nature clearly teach us two things about God. First, his eternal power, and second, his Godhead. In other words, nature teaches us there must be a designer. There must be a creator, a supreme being behind the heavens and the creations around us. If he is the creator, then he should be worshipped. And he is worthy of all worship. And if you take time to see and study the nations and tribes of this world, you will see they all worship a god. They worship the gods of stone, of trees, of moon, stars, animals. In other words, they know within themselves that there is a supreme being, a God somewhere. So, Romans 1:20, that tells me that they are without excuse. Listen, if we accept the Bible truth, then we must also accept that all who fail to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, Paul has said in Colossians chapter 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, listen what he says, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. There'll be no excuse on judgment day for those who have not accepted Christ as their Saviour. If they have not heard the name of God, that's not God's fault. A great deal of blame lies at the feet of those who are saved, and yet, could I say, we have been too lazy and we haven't carried the gospel the way we should have to the utter ends of the earth. But for a person to enter the kingdom of heaven, they must receive Christ by faith as their personal Saviour. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In fact, Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, there is no evolution of man. Man has not evolved into being a higher being. In fact, he has waxed worse and worse along the way. One man said, "With man without God is actually evolution in reverse." I like that one. See, man has not risen from some protoplasm towards the likeness of Almighty God, regardless of the supermarket ads you see on TV at the moment saying that's how it is. The opposite is true. God clearly tells us man has been going down, not up. You see, in the beginning, man was made in perfect, with perfect fellowship with God. God had put his plan in order, but man fell from that higher state, and man's fall was complete. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Have a look at the way some of the tribes of this world dress, and they dress like like birds with feathers in their hair. They take on the look of the creature. And man is lost, and man is alienated from God and hopeless and helpless and bound for hell unless he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man fell out of God's perfect plan and man was doomed, but praise God, he had a way to bring man back right in a right relationship with him, back into that plan, and that way is Jesus Christ. God was not caught off guard when man fell in the garden. It was no surprise to him who knows all things. God's plan came with a payment. Our second point is the payment. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You see, in the fall, man lost all his dignity. He lost all his dominion. In the fall, man lost his happiness, his innocence, his purity. He lost his peace. It was all gone in that one moment. Gone. And Satan's plan was to rob man of a true knowledge of God. But man's ruin came with God's remedy. And God revealed himself and his purposes of redeeming love. You see, Satan made a huge mistake by coming to interfere with God's plan. Satan's lie only gave occasion to show the full display of God's truth, and that's the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:18 tells us, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You see, Jesus left the bosom of the Father to declare God to man. every word he spoke, every miracle he did was for the purpose to make known the love of God, the tenderness of God, and to declare the salvation of God brought down to man. See, the invisible God was made visible to man. Jesus is the grace and truth of Almighty God declared to man. And to receive Christ is to have fellowship with the Father. To receive Christ is to be put back in the right order as it should have been from the very beginning. And the shed blood of Jesus Christ was the full payment for man's sin, and it is a payment for the complete and perfect pardon of every poor, hell-deserving sinner who will believe on the Lord and trust in his shed blood. Matthew 20:28 tells us, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now the Greek word for ransom is lutron. And the first part of that word, lu, is a verb. So that means it's an action word. And it means to loose or to release, to set free, as in setting a prisoner free. And the word for means instead of. So this involves a substitution, and substitution demanded a vicarious death. Now that's a theological term. I'll put it simply, it means taking the place of another. See, the Lord Jesus Christ announced that he was giving his life as a ransom to redeem, to set free, to set loose man from the captivity, from the slavery, and from the power of sin. The spiritual death and the damnation that came into the world through the fall of man in the garden, Jesus would pay the ransom for all who will accept his substitutionary sacrifice. In other words, he would die in our place. He would die the death that man deserved to die. Colossians 2:13 tells us, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, we have Paul here appealing to these Colossian believers with a desire that they realize their present possessions in Christianity. They'd been quickened. That's a word. They've been reassociated with a companionship. In other words, what was lost has been returned. Jesus paid the price for man's sin. And as believers, we've been risen from spiritual deadness to a new life that is to be enjoyed now. Our brother prayed in the prayer meeting this morning that there would be an enjoyment in our meeting together. We're to enjoy life now. Life in Christ is not a blessing for after the grave. It's before the grave. We're to be excited and uplifted. Why do you think the Lord says there's joy in trials? Why? Because we can thank God that all things work together for good to those that love him. Oh, you don't know how I'm feeling. Well, I tell you, the person next to you does. We all know the hardships, the trials, the discouragements, the betrayals. But God says they're all for your good, because the way we respond brings glory to him if we respond right. We've been taken from spiritual deadness, a place in the depths of hell, and we've been placed now from the dunghill to the palace because of what Christ has done for us. And before a person trusts Christ, you see, they're spiritually dead, but now they are just as truly alive unto God, not going to be alive, but we're alive right now. Verse 14 of Colossians 2 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You see, in Christ, God was satisfied. Listen, what God demands, God always provides. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but fulfill." Romans 10:4 tells us, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." You see, Jesus came, he willingly laid down his life for sin, and God accepted the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus, and through his shed blood, we have remission of sin without the need of any ordinances. The word blotting out implies a plastering over. See, God's law hasn't been destroyed. Jesus didn't destroy it. He plastered over it. He satisfied it. He fulfilled it because we never could. Someone had to do it for us, and it was him. You see, the law presented a condemnation on the whole of the human race. Romans 3:19 at the end reminds us that all the world may become guilty before God. But Jesus satisfied every jot and tittle of the law. You may not agree with that there were the ordinances, but since they're abolished, isn't it absolute ridiculousness to practice them? To try and earn your salvation by keeping those laws? You see, when our Savior hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." In verse 15 in Colossians 2, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." You see, at the same time as blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, God damned the devil, the deceiver and destroyer of our souls. The devil has a kingdom. He is the head of untold millions of demons and wicked spirits. He is called the God of this age in 2 Corinthians 4, the prince of the world in John 16. Listen to me carefully. He is not an evil influence, and he is not just an evil spirit. He is a real personality in a real battle for men's souls against the Lord Jesus Christ, who was already given the victory if people would only accept him as their Savior. But listen, he does not give up easily, but he is a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him in the wilderness temptations, and he defeated him once and for all by his death and resurrection. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, and a few others give us a description, a picture of that victory. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for certain men." No. For every man. If you're here today and you're not saved, you'll have the opportunity to be saved. Don't listen to man-made doctrines that say you don't have a choice. It's for every man. Verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him, it's the devil, that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Christian, if you're a Christian here today, you don't have to fear death. The moment your eyes close and you take your last breath, you're in the presence of your Savior forever and ever and ever. And we can see the sin of euthanasia, can't we? Those poor souls, as our brother reminded the other day, thinking they're getting out of the misery of this world and opening their eyes in an eternal damnation. "And deliver them through fear of death all their time subject to bondage. For verily he took on him, not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham." You see, the devil is a conquered enemy. He is still on the loose. He's like a roaring lion seeking about who he can devour. but the end for him and all who follow him will be the lake of fire. And on the cross, Jesus purchased redemption, and that work was completed. Salvation was purchased and Satan was defeated. And the blood of the Lamb was payment in full. The sentence of death passed on all men since the fall in the garden has the seal of God stamped on it in blood, paid in full. Now, can I ask, is that stamp on your heart this morning? Have you placed yourself in the position where you have received of your own free will the believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood, setting you free forever from the torment of an eternal hell? See, there's a plan, there was a payment, and there's a program. Romans 8, 29 and 30, for whom he all did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know, Jesus is the ultimate example of godliness and freedom and love. And these verses trouble many people, but they are very easily understood if we just allow the Holy Spirit to speak and put aside what some men say and what they teach. See, this is all about being in his Son, Jesus Christ. All who have believed in Jesus Christ for their salvation have been predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. That's all who have believed in him, not special people. God has not chosen some for heaven and chosen some for hell. That's false doctrine. It should be avoided. When we were saved, we became bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. His divine nature resides within the believer. Therefore, we will be conformed to his image. And notice this is all past tense. This is God's purpose from the very beginning. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, if you want to turn there to follow, you see in starting in verse 3, it tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And notice how, in Christ. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, having predestinated us to the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself. Chapter 2, 5, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. See, it's in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, in him, by Christ. It's got nothing to do with us. Not because we're good, not because we're special, not because we're certain ones chosen and certain ones not. It's all about being in Christ. It's about the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. It's being in him we are chosen, in him before the world was formed. You see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, not just some. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. If we have been predestined by Christ, we have been adopted into the family of God, there would have been no need for Christ if there was just certain people chosen, would there? There'd be no reason for a Savior at all. None. God wouldn't have offered his Son for anyone. He wouldn't have to. But God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God's gift of grace comes to man in Christ, through Christ, by Christ. All spiritual blessings are ours in Christ if we're believers. It's interesting, in the original language, Ephesians 1 verses 3 to 14 is just one sentence. It's the longest sentence in the Bible. And 14 times in chapter 1, in Christ, or the same statement expressed in other ways, is mentioned. See, I do not believe that some are chosen to be saved and some are elected to go to hell, because the Bible just does not teach that. While in the mind of God, in the eternity behind us, he chose some to be damned. That's not the God I know. And it's not the God of the Gospels that we read. It's not the God of the book of Ephesians or anywhere else in the Bible. God has a plan. He has a blueprint, and all hell cannot change the program God has set up. And God is omniscient, and God knows all things from the beginning to the end. But the foreknowledge of God had nothing to do with the free will he gave me to either receive or reject his salvation through Christ. God did not hold a gun to my head and force me to be saved. I willingly accepted Christ as my Savior, and if anyone ever steps inside the gates of glory, it will be because you, of your own free will, receive Christ as your Savior. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Calvinists can do nothing with that except explain it away with just man-made wisdom. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. See, Jesus said that's a choice. People don't come to him because they don't want him. He's offered to all, but all don't want him. You see, the law presented a condemnation of the whole race, that the world would become guilty before God, but Jesus satisfied that law. And the choice is yours. The Calvinists will try and explain it away, but again, they've only got a man-made explanation. And if anyone goes to hell when they die, that's not God's will for them. 2 Peter 3:9, I'll say it again so we get it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, would not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'll give you a challenge. Go home today and read Acts 15, and you will see God's plan, God's payment, and God's program. God doesn't operate a hit and miss sort of a system. And before he created this earth, he had completed his plan. The church as a body, a complete body without spot or wrinkle, was chosen in Christ before God even created Adam. The church was predestined to be completed. And individuals receive or reject Jesus according to their own free will. And we are to be glad, I'm certainly glad, I can't speak for anybody else, that God placed Adam and Eve in that garden, that God gave them the right to choose. And I'm thankful there was a tree of knowledge and of good and evil placed there. Adam was given clear instructions by God as what he could do and what he couldn't do, and we should all be thankful to God that Adam had the right and the opportunity to choose. God in Christ has done for man what man could have never done for himself. Outside of Christ, man is nothing. But in Christ, and I want you to get a hold of this, we are as just as Jesus, our justifier, is just. See, as individuals, we have to do with Christ, our Savior, our High Priest, and our Mediator. God has committed into the hands of His Son all authority in heaven and earth, and we have to do with Christ. He is the one who saves. He is the one who leads. He is the one who keeps. He is the one who will present those who have chosen of their own free will God's way of salvation to God the Father. He will present the believer to the Father on that great and glorious day when the plan, the payment, and the program of God is done, completed forever and eternity. If you turn to 1 Peter with me, please, we need to read through this because it's a beautiful passage of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 15. 1 Peter's before 2 Peter. Amen. Verse 15. And look at these beautiful words. But as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, what was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. You know, the opportunity to be part of God's plan, payment, and program is offered to you in this age of grace. If you have received God's salvation through Christ, you have nothing to worry about. But if you are rejecting this offer, I would ask you to look around in this world today, then look into the Word of God, and you will see it's all coming to a close. And one day it will be too late. One day, brothers and sisters, it will be too late. And today is the day to settle where you stand with God regarding your salvation. Don't put it off any longer. Receive Christ and rejoice for eternity. There is an eternal kingdom waiting. The original purpose of Almighty God was to manifest his divine absolute authority over this earth. and man fell from that authority, but it will be restored because God is a perfect God. And his kingdom will have sin no more. Christ will come, take out the church, come back again after 7 years and reign for 1,000, and he will then deliver up the kingdom to his Father. 1 Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. Listen to this, that God may be all in all. A perfect God. Paradise will be restored. Revelation 2:7, he that hath a ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You see, the first paradise came to an end, but God wasn't caught off by surprise. He knew. And when man went with defeat, God put a plan and a program and a payment into action, and paradise restored will never, ever end. And those who dwell there will abide with him forever and ever. Revelation 5:11, I'll finish with these verses. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. What a place for us to be. I could want to ask, God made all men a part of the plan, but have you accepted the payment? Are you in the program? Because it will be finished. One day, very soon, all will be set right back in its perfect order for eternity. And if you miss out, it will be too late. No purgatories to be prayed out of. Nothing like that. Today is the day of salvation. Where do you stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful truth of your word. We thank you for the mighty, gracious and great almighty God that you are. For the plan, the payment and the program you have put together is absolutely perfect, and nothing is going to stop it or change it. And Lord, we are so close to that day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us victory over the power of sin. And one day, Lord, very soon, we will never be in its presence ever again because you made payment for it. Lord, we pray for any soul today who has heard your word and is not sure, or who has recognized their lost state, that they put it not off but realize that today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow could be too late. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful love to us. And we do give you the praise and the glory. for being a perfect God. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.